Good morning.
Good morning.
If for some reason you hear an annoying noise, try to disregard it. It's just my knees knocking up here. I invite you to join me in the book of Luke, chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I'd like to share with you an encouraging note that a brother in Christ sent to me shortly after I began. I believe I had preached maybe one, maybe two messages for Pastor Gene while he was gone. And I'd been doing devotions for some time. And this brother wrote to me and he said, "May God be pleased to give you the wisdom, grace, and unfailing direction of His Spirit as you seek His will in the service of His kingdom. When you preach, preach Christ. Preach with simplicity and clarity. Preach only what God Himself has taught you in the experience of His grace, and preach to all with the thought that they may just meet God in judgment before the day is done." And then he signed, "Brother in Christ." This is my prayer every time I'm allowed to stand before any that God has been pleased to bring before me. Preach Christ with simplicity and clarity. My title for this morning's message is found right here in Luke, if you're with me, in chapter 8, verse 39. Our Lord says, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." It is my desire this morning to tell you this day what great things God hath done. And I believe I'm just going to jump right off into the deep end. We preach the Trinity here. That's what's in the Scriptures. It's taught from cover to cover. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God.
Yes, sir.
Three distinct persons, one God. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Great things He hath done." God became a man. In Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." We saw last night Pastor Fortner's message, and you know, I don't apologize for repeating verses that may have been spoken of last night. God's word is precious in all that He says. All of His word is. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His name is Jesus, Savior, for He shall save His people." Now, I remember what it was before the Lord called me out of darkness. So I can say that if you're an unregenerate soul, you may think to yourself, big deal. You claim that He's the creator of all things. What's so big about it becoming a man? Well, for you to understand why that's such a big deal, why that is such a great thing, you must first see who it is that He's done it for. You see, the telling of this event that we just read here, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee," didn't start with verse 39. Look at verse 22. This is the beginning of this event. Everything in God's word is an event of some time or another. There are no stories there. In verse 22, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that He," speaking of Christ, "went into a ship with His disciples, and He said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." The God of all creation does nothing by chance. In fact, there's no such thing as chance. It doesn't matter what it is, everything is under the sweet control of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is sovereign over everything. Our pastor has said, even the dust, as you see when you look through the window and the sunshine's coming in, see the dust kind of floating in the air, those little specks of dust? He has numbered every hair on your head. Mine's getting fewer by the moment, too. But he knows each one. Each hair is numbered. All the things that happen throughout this world are according to his will and for his glory. But let's take a look at this man for just a moment. This man that Christ has given the instructions to. Look at verse 26, if you would, please. And they, speaking of Christ and his disciples, arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, speaking of Christ, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he, speaking of Christ, had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And the man said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Now this event is also recorded over in the book of Mark. If you would hold your place here in Luke for just a moment, turn to Mark chapter 5. I want you to see the entire picture of what this man was, because we were all just like him. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they, speaking of Christ and the apostles, came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he was often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when Jesus saw afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he saith unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he, our Lord Jesus, asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, if you would, go back to Luke. First, in both accounts that we have here, we can see that this man had some pretty major issues. The first one I bring to your attention is that he lived among the dead. His dwelling was in the tombs. Scriptures tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They also tell us that the wages of sin is death. In Ephesians 2, it says, "We see that we too were dead in trespasses and sin. We too walked according to the course of this world. And we too were by nature children of wrath, even as others." Picture, this man is of me. I can look back on a time before the Lord called me, and I can see just as dead, that I was just as dead spiritually as Lazarus was when the Lord called him out of the tomb. I just didn't know it. I was too busy living in the world that surrounded me. See, my world was all about me. Next month, I'll be married 38 years. My wife has had a husband for 16. Before God called me, everything I did was to satisfy my flesh in one way or another. Christ did not dwell in me. I wanted nothing to do with him. Look again at verse 28. When he, the man, saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High?" This man was not looking for Christ, neither was I. In fact, those of you who attend this church have heard me say this before, but for the sake of those who haven't, when I came here, I was not looking for God at all. I was looking for a shoulder to cry on. My older brother Lee attended this service. And I showed up outside and some problems going on in my life. My little world around me wasn't going so good. And he said, "You know what? I'd love to sit and talk with you. Come on in. Sit down. Church is just about to start. Can we sit down, and then after church we'll go talk some more." But God, in Ephesians 2, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us." Great things he hath done. Great things he hath done. Christ loved even me, a sinner, condemned unclean. We see the picture of Esau and Jacob in Micah, where the Lord says, "Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved." I understand why he hated Esau. What I don't understand is how the Lord could love me. How could he love Jacob? What is there in us that he could love? Nothing. Yet even, as it says in verse 5 of Ephesians 2, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, given life, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Great things he hath done. He gave me life. Verse 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Great things he hath done. He brought me up out of the darkness that I was in, that small little world. That little world that I loved because it was so pleasure, so satisfying to the flesh. He brought me up out of that darkness and he made me to sit in heavenly places in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was not looking for my Lord, he was looking for me. "It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God who showeth mercy." The second thing that I want to bring out about this man is that he was possessed of devils. Now I'll be truthful with you. I have no experience of possessions. I don't know anything about them. But I do know this. When Peter acted on the instinct of flesh, rebuking the Lord after the Lord began teaching the apostles about the sufferings that he must go through in Jerusalem, Peter stood up and said, "Nay, Lord, that won't happen while I'm around. I won't let that happen at all." Our Lord turned to him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I also know this, that when it comes to my sins, past, present, and I'm sure of the future, you can call me legion, for they are many. If there was one word that we could use to describe the greatest thing that he hath done, it would be substitute. My Lord and Savior became a man so that he could establish a perfect righteousness for his people. You see, there was no sin in him. He was perfect in all that he did, even the death of the cross. He paid the price in full for all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He paid the price for all of those that he has loved from everlasting to everlasting. He paid the price so that all the Father giveth him shall come to him. He paid the price for all of his elect, as they are called in 1 Peter. Great things he hath done. God has mercy upon whom he will have mercy. When God the Father looks down on me, he sees me justified by that precious blood that we heard this pastor stand before us and talk about last night. The blood that paid the sin debt in full. God looks on his people just as if they'd never sinned. Justified in the Son, in the sight of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified in his Son, my perfect substitute. The blood of God was shed on that cruel cross, precious blood that it was. And that blood is the blood of God, effectual and with all power. You don't need to turn there, but allow me to quote scripture for you. Hebrews 10:12, but this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, the blessed knowledge, knowing that all that I am is not remembered because of him. Great things he hath done. He, our Lord Jesus, became sin for me. He became a curse for all of his elect. He took our sins upon himself so that we might live. In other words, he walked by like that baby that's talked about in the field that was left in its own blood, and he said, live. The third thing I want to point out about this man is he was crazy. No man could talk sense to him, nor could any bind him. This I do know, that looking back on my way of thinking about who the Lord is, what he has done, and what he is doing now, I do believe I was insane. You see, I had my own little world that I was living in. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't fit in it. I had no idea that he was the one who created me, that he was the one who guided me in all my steps. As I look back now and I can see in all the places where he protected me and kept me from hurting myself. Think about this for just a moment, will you? Is it sane to believe that we came from monkeys? That's what's taught in our high school. That's what's taught as a fact in our schools. Or what about believing a piece of wood that you've carved with your own hands could be a god? Something to do something for you. That's nuts. It's a piece of wood. Over in Sunnyvale, there is a steel, I don't know, brass or something, statue, 30 feet tall. It's supposed to be the Virgin Mary, I believe. On a Saturday morning, my family and I are going to a park over there, and there's 30 people out there at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, because I'm always early to everything. I like to get in line before the line starts. 7 o'clock in the morning, there's 30 people out there praying to that statue, that steel thing. For what? That's crazy. That's plain nuts. It's a steel statue. What can that do for you? Or what about this? Is this sane? What about believing that the true and living God could fail? Could you call that really sanity? If something can fail, it couldn't be the God. It couldn't be even have the title God. Yet there are those who believe that Christ died for everybody and some are going to go to hell. That's nuts. That's not a God at all. Or even worse, believing in your so-called free will and that it has power to resist the one that created you. In Romans 9:29, hath not the potter power over the clay, the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor and the other unto dishonor? No, the world would rather believe a lie than see the truth. Look at the world around us today. My mom and I were talking about this in the car on our way down here this morning. It seems like all you hear from me nowadays when I talk about the world around me is the negativeness that we see and the lying that's going on. Starting with the lies of abortion. You can go all the way back to the beginning of that. Taking the life of a child, whether it's outside the womb or inside the womb, and saying that it's not alive is a lie. Gay marriage. You cannot marry another man. It's not possible. It's a lie. Men who, or women, who become men, and then raised up like they're some kind of heroes. That's a lie. He's still a man. You can't make a man a woman. Look at all the lies we see in our political system. You know, it can be really depressing, but to a child of God, we know who's in control of every one of those that are living those lies. They say in the pulpits of goats that you must decide, that you must make a decision. Yet in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, are Christ says, they are the Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. Great things he hath done. The Father reveals to his children who the Lord Jesus Christ is. When Peter was asked, who do you think I am, by our Lord? Peter said, well, you're the Son of the living God. And our Lord responded to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Great things he hath done, God the Father hath revealed the truth to my soul. In John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So allow me to bring this to a close with these six quick points. Great things God hath done is the title for this message. He chose me before the foundation of the world, as he chooses every one of his children in Christ. There's nothing in me to merit that choice. It was made, as our pastor Don Fortner brought out last night, in the covenant before time began. He sanctified me, set me apart from the world of lies and from the world of darkness in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He crucified me of the world in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hung on that cross, all my sins forever hung with him. He justified me in the world in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He resurrected me from this world in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps and upholds me in this world in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Look at verse 35, if you would, please. Then they, those who were around this man and Jesus at that time, they went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus, and they found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. You see, we have a peace, those of us that the Lord has revealed himself to, a peace that no matter what's going on around us, no matter what lies are being lived, no matter what the people of the world are doing, no matter what all those so-called Christian people think they're doing either, we know our sovereign God, in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, controls everything. Verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. I know that feeling, folks. I was close to our brother Phil Motini as he came to that door that was marked death. I spent some very close time with him. And oh, how difficult it was for him to go through those last moments. But yet our Lord took him when it became too much. It's difficult not to let this world get us down. Oh, how we want to go and be with the Lord today. But it's not our time yet. Verse 39. No, let me finish verse 38. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he, the man, went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus. Did you catch that? How great things Jesus had done unto him. Is Christ calling your heart today? Is the Lord revealing himself to you as the sovereign creator over all things? Have you never heard the gospel preached? When I first heard it, 3, maybe 6 months, coming down here on Sunday mornings, several times I had to go to the pastor and say, "I don't know. I don't know what's going on here." You may not know what's going on, but maybe, just maybe, the Lord is doing a work in your heart. To God be the glory. Great things he up there. Thank you, John.